Remarks of the President, Salida, Missouri, 8 October 1952.
I have the honor and the pleasure to introduce the President of the United States.
Well, this is a real treat for me. This is coming back home, sure enough. You know, back in 1940, I opened the campaign for my re-election to the United States Senate right here in Sedalia, and the later Secretary of Labor was the man who made the speech for me, Senator Schwellenbach of the great state of Washington, who afterwards became a federal judge in that great state. The President Roosevelt appointed him, and then I made him Secretary of Labor. And if you remember, that 1940 campaign was a rough one, but we won it. It was like the 1948 campaign, and we won that. And I always have had a soft spot in my heart for Sedalia. It's just like my hometown because I feel like that campaign of 1948, which originated here, finally got me into more trouble than any man's ever been in before or since. You people all know me pretty well. You've seen me through some hard campaigns. But the one this year is the most important and most serious of my life. The whole future of this great country of ours may hang upon a Democratic victory this fall. And that's why I'm making this trip, working as hard as I can to elect the Democratic ticket. I'm very grateful to the Democratic Party for what it's done for me. And I'm not like a lot of fellows after he's had everything he can possibly get out of a party. I stay with it. I'm going to stay with it all the rest of my life. I know all your candidates out here, and it's a good team. I hope you'll put them in on November the 4th. I've known Stu Symington for years and years, and I think very highly of him, and he'll make a good senator. And I know Morgan Moulder, who's been one of the best congressmen that ever has gone to Washington. You won't make any mistake by keeping him there, because he's in a position now where he can do you some real good. And you don't need anybody to tell you about Phil Donnelly. He served one successful term as governor, and he'll make a good governor again for the great state of Missouri. This is a hard election, and the toughest I can remember. And one of the reasons is that the Republicans are trying every trick in the book to win. They're trying to lie their way to victory. They're trying to buy their way to victory. They are pouring out money. I'm told their candidate for president has an advance party of 60 people, and two of them do nothing but handle a confetti concession. It'd be nice to have all that money spread around, but I'm just as glad as I can be that the Democratic Party hasn't got it. I've never been in a tough campaign yet where money won it. It's the man himself that wins a campaign, and the right man will always win, money or no money. The Republicans have to pay too high a price, and it isn't worth it. The Republicans get all this money from the big interests and the big lobbies, the banks and the power lobby and the real estate lobby and the oil lobby and all the rest. Naturally, since those people foot the bill, they expect service in return, and they certainly do get it from the Republican Party. That party is owned body and soul by the lobby boys, and their record proves it. One of the lobbies I'm thinking about, you might not even know about. That's the medical lobby, one of the least noticed of them all, but one that's put an awful lot of money into past Republican campaigns. Now, this lobby does not include the overwhelming majority of devoted doctors in our country. Most of our doctors are the finest people in the world. The lobby doesn't really represent them. The medical lobby is nothing more nor less than a small reactionary faction within the national leadership of the American Medical Association, plus a very slick public relations firm. And what is the purpose of this lobby? It's very simple. The purpose is to keep all medical work in this country under the complete control of some rich doctors who want to decide for themselves how and when and what fee our people shall pay for medical service. There is a clique that has prevented the creation of new doctors in this country, and there never was a time in the history of the country when we are as short as we are now of the proper medical care. Now, this little outfit, this lobby, has been helping to subsidize the Republican Party for several years. And as usual, they get good service for their money. Let me give you some examples, recent examples. In 1950, 58% of the Republican congressmen voted against expanding our program to build hospitals with federal aid. In 1951, the Republican senators voted 9-1 to block federal help to train more doctors, and there never was a time when we needed more doctors as badly as we do now. That same year, they voted 4-1 against badly needed help for state and local public health units. And when I asked for an insurance program along the lines of Social Security to help you to save, to pay these doctor bills, the Republicans made a political football out of the whole thing. Right now, it happens that the medical lobby is just a bit embarrassed. You see, last year, I set up a nonpartisan commission to go into the whole problem of health needs of this nation, including the cost of medical care. Some very fine and conscientious doctors are serving on that commission, and some good laymen, too. I told the commission to study the problem and come up with the best solutions. I said that I was not committed to any particular plan, but I did want to make some progress. That sort of pulled the rug from under the medical lobby. They tried to attack this commission in a meeting of the American Medical Association last summer, but their fellow doctors wouldn't go along. So this little group of reactionaries announced the other day that their work was ended. Then do you know what they did? They changed the sign on their office door. That's all they did. And now they are called the National Professional Committee for Eisenhower and Nixon. It's the same crowd with the same Republican affiliation and the same purpose in life with just a new name. And they're hard at work trying to put their Republican friends over on us this November. I happen to have some evidence of that right here. I have a clipping from the Nashville Tennessean dated September the 26th, 1952. It shows the photostat of a letter dated 3 days before on the stationery of a local Nashville doctor. Apparently, this letter was sent to a lot of other doctors there, too. The letter reads as follows. Now, this is the letter. Dear Doctor, I've been asked as a member of Senator Nixon's parade committee to ask a few of my friends to drive their cars in the Nixon parade on Saturday, September the 27th. We want to count on you to be there, or if you can't participate, to have someone come in your place. In order to make the best impression on the general public, we are asking that you use a small car if possible. Use a small car if possible. Well, my friends, the Republicans have most of the big cars, I guess, and most of the big car vote, and they can keep it. We Democrats will be content to get the small car vote from the genuine small car people. Just as I've been saying that I'm perfectly happy to have the Republican Party have the generals and the colonels in this campaign, but I'll take the corporals and the privates and win the election. Now, the Democratic Party has always been the party of the plain, everyday man who drives a small car, because that's all he has. And that's the way our party will continue under Adlai Stevenson. So I urge you, just vote for your own interest. Now, you're the government. It's you that controls the country. And when you don't exercise your right to vote and you get bad government, it's nobody's fault but yours, and you get just exactly what you deserve. But if you go to the polls on November the 4th and do as I advise you, vote the Democratic ticket straight here in this great state of Missouri, you'll have good government at home and in Washington, and the world will be safe.